Well, I certainly want to take this opportunity to again thank all of those who filled in while we were gone to Israel. Brother Keith, thank you for your ministry with us the last couple of Sundays, and we appreciate your ministry. I haven't taken the time to listen to the tapes yet, but I'm sure it was fine. But certainly it's a blessing to have a church family, and we certainly missed you while we were away and thought of you often, and know that you thought about us as well. We're going to set aside a time for a full report with some pictures and some other things coming up here shortly, but one of the things that's right around the corner is Easter. Can you believe it? 4 weeks from today is Easter. And it's very early this year, and 4 Sundays from now. And so because of that, Mr. Fry is working on his solo for Easter Sunday already, and getting ready for that, you know. And we're looking forward to a wonderful day of worshiping together. And you've seen kind of an outline in the bulletin. We're going to have a full day. We haven't done this for a couple of years where we've had an early service as well as a breakfast. And you notice we're going to attempt that again this year. So hope you'll make plans for that and be a part of our full day with us that day. And trust we'll certainly rejoice in our risen Savior and his finished work on Calvary. Let's take our Bibles and turn back to the book of Psalms this morning. Now, this is the final message in this short series that I've been doing on the Word of God here in Psalm 19. And let's sing the first verses here. We're going to have them up here, but if you need them, you can open your Bibles there to Psalm 19, verses 7 through 10. And so let's sing these verses together again. We've been doing that each Sunday. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And then if you are already open to Psalm 19, we just sang 7, 8, 9, and 10. Now begin with me at verse 11. Moreover, by them, what's the them? By the statutes and the law and the judgments, and by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's pray. Father, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And I pray that you'll give us good understanding of that which we're going to look at and study this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For the past several weeks, apart from the interlude while we were away, we've been looking at verses out of Psalm 19. We have discovered, according to Psalm 19, that this passage teaches us there are two ways that God reveals himself to us. Isn't it wonderful that God wants to reveal himself to us? That God is a God who has declared himself to us? That God is a God who wants to be known? I am glad today that God wants to be known, because unless you know God, you will perish. Unless you know God through Christ, you'll perish. Every person alive today needs to know God and needs to know God aright through Christ. And so God has made it possible so that we can know him. Now, we have not talked about every way that God has given for us to know him, but we certainly have in this passage seen that God wants to be known through his creation. And certainly we can look around us and we can see the beauty and the glory and the minuteness of detail that our God is a God of order, a God of beauty, a God who has created things so by design because he's a powerful and wonderful God. We can know him through all of his creation, but we can also know him because he has given us his word. Now, I don't do this all the time, but everybody hold up your Bible or your electronic Bible or whatever you have with you this morning. All right? That is wonderful. You know, and I am going to praise you this morning. Because you can go into a lot of churches today and you'll ask people to hold up their Bible and you won't see two. Praise God, I have a congregation that brings their Bibles to church with them. I thank you for that. I love you for that. And we want to be known as the people who know God's Word and study God's Word and obey God's Word and live God's Word. And so God has revealed himself to us. And in the verses 7, 8, and 9, we have been looking at sort of some couplets there in each of these verses. And these verses have been telling us all of six great and wonderful affirmations about God's word. What's an affirmation? Well, it's a truth. It's something that you affirm. An affirmation, a truth about God's word. And we've looked at six of these wonderful affirmations about God's word in these previous verses here. We have seen in 7a, the law of the Lord is perfect. That's the affirmation. It's perfect. And we have seen along with the affirmations that there's an effect. What does the perfect law of the Lord do? It converts the soul. If you know you're converted today, raise your hand. You know you're converted. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know? That you have been converted? That you have been saved? You know, I don't know why God just brought this into my mind, but for many years I taught a Bible study on Friday mornings at a mobile home park in Zephyr Hills, Florida, near our church. And we had, for many times, we had 19 weekly Bible studies going on in mobile home parks. And I taught one of them. I had other men teaching other Bible studies, but I had one, and my Bible study usually had around 35 or so in my Bible study there at that mobile home park. We used the clubhouse. at the mobile home park for a place to meet. Well, one time when I went to Israel, it was near the end of the snowbird season, so our numbers had started to dwindle down. But I asked one of my deacons if he would lead the Bible study while I was in Israel. And so he did. And on that particular Sunday, there was a lady, her name was Arlene, a lady who came to all our Bible studies. She didn't come to our church, she just came to our Bible studies. And Arlene was the only lady that showed up that morning besides the deacon and his wife. And so what had been a bigger class was now dwindled down, and now there was just one person that came that day. But that was by God's design. Because the deacon said, well, since you're the only one here today, Arlene, do you have any questions? And you know what her question was? She says, what is this being born again that Pastor Waller keeps talking about? So the deacon led her to the Lord. You know what? If there had been 10 people in the class that morning, she wouldn't have asked that question. But she was the only one. And so she said, what does it mean to be born again? So the deacon explained to her, led her to Christ, called me on a cell phone in Israel. And I picked up the phone and he said, hi, this is Ted. I just wanted you to know that Arlene just received Christ as her Savior. I said, praise the Lord, you know. And Arlene began to attend our church and later was baptized there. And she was born again. You know what the law of the Lord does? It converts the soul. It converts the soul. And then the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So we have these six affirmations about the Word of God that we've been looking at. But now, we want to go in the next five verses, 10 through 14, and these five verses now tell us about how we can practice the truth that we've just learned. Do you know, if you don't live truth, it's actually better that you didn't even know the truth. Because truth always carries with it the responsibility to obey it. And so now that we know these six affirmations about the Word of God, now we have a responsibility to live it, to obey it. And that's what this word, moreover, verse 11 and verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb, moreover. So we have here an appropriation. How do we appropriate it? How many of you had breakfast this morning? Anybody have breakfast this morning? Again, excuse me. I'm going to be referring to it for probably several weeks now, but we had breakfast in Israel. You know, buffets of four or five counters of food that you could go and choose from. Breakfasts were big deals. I ate three times as much at breakfast there than I ever do at home. You know, but we wore it off during the day too. Let me believe you, we wore it off. But breakfast, you know, I saw a little program about animals on television recently, and there was a animal that was a cat that was up in a 90-foot tree, and the cat was there for a week without eating or drinking. And they finally got so desperate that they got a big ladder on a fire truck and they were going to go up and get this cat out of the tree, finally, you know, after a week. And just the fireman was about 3 feet from reaching the cat and it fell out of the tree. The branch broke and it went down. and it was fine. Don't anybody panic. It was fine. But they were worried about the cat not eating. You know, and do you know what? We have to eat the Word of God. We have to appropriate ourselves with the Word of God. It says here, it's more to be desired than honey and the honeycomb. It's that which we have to take in and appropriate to ourselves. It's that which is purchased like you would purchase gold and have gold. It's more desired. Let me just ask all of us this morning this question. Do we have that kind of attitude when it comes to the Word of God this morning? Is it more desirable to us than gold? You know, I remember seeing a report years ago about a group of believers that went to Russia, and part of what they were doing in Russia was handing out Russian copies of the Word of God. And this portion of this film stuck out to me so much. Is this Russian lady, a peasant woman, dressed very plainly along a very rickety fence. She went to the fence. A lady on the other side of the fence handed her a Bible. She looked at the Bible, and at first she didn't even know what it was. She opened it up and saw what it was, and she went like this. Her immediate first response was, and then she reached across that fence and gave that woman the biggest hug and kiss. She knew that the Word of God was more to be desired than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And my question to all of us this morning, is that how we feel toward the Word of God? And is that how we are so anxious then to appropriate the Word of God into our own lives? In just about 3 months, I will have kind of an anniversary. Not my wedding anniversary. That's 5 months, 4 months down the road yet. But I was ordained in 1976, in May. So which anniversary am I about reaching? My 40th anniversary of my ordination. I have been preaching God's word as an ordained pastor for almost 40 years now. And because of that, it has been my opportunity and privilege to preach to hundreds and thousands of people. Now, maybe not thousands and thousands and thousands, but I was on the radio for a while, so maybe thousands. But I've preached to hundreds of people on a regular basis, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. 52 weeks a year, 3 to 4 times a week, I've had the privilege to open God's Word and preach God's word and teach God's word. And I will tell you this, I have never yet in almost 40 years of pastoral ministry ever found a dynamic Christian who wasn't regularly in God's word, who was not regularly in God's word. I've told this story before, but I had a man named Neil one time that I led to the Lord. And Neil used to meet with me every Thursday afternoon. When he'd get off work, he would meet with me in my office for discipleship. The first week we met, I encouraged him to get into God's Word, to start studying God's Word, to get a Bible. So he went to the local bookstore. He called me from the bookstore and said, "Pastor, help!" I said, "What, Neil?" He said, "You told me to buy a Bible. You didn't tell me they had 50 different kinds of Bibles." And so I encouraged him to buy a Bible that would be easily understood for him, and he could read regularly, and some study notes and so forth. And I said, you need to start reading God's Word. 2 weeks later, he said to me, well, now what do you want me to read? And I said, what do you mean? I want you to read God's Word. And he said, well, I finished it. I said, you finished the Bible? He said, yes, I read it. And you told me to read it. I read it. In 2 weeks, he had finished reading the Bible. He fell in love with the Bible. You know what I told him? Read it again. But we started now having a little more disciplined, well, read here and here's, and so he began reading it again. But he read the Bible. Do you know, if we have unread Bibles, it's like an unexplored cave. If we have unread Bibles, it's like an unworked mine. If we had unread Bibles, it's like an undrawn upon bank account. If we have unread Bibles, it's like an uneaten meal. If we have unread Bibles, it's like we fail to plug into an unlimited source of power. Now, I'm going to give you just some practical suggestions this morning. First, read the Bible. If you are a relatively new believer, and even if you're not, here's a suggestion. How many chapters are there in the book of John? Anybody know? A little less than that. 21 chapters in the book of John. And so 21 chapters, how many days are there in a week? 7 into 21 is 3. Here's my challenge, and I'm going to do it too. Let's all, between now and next Sunday, every day this week, read 3 chapters each day out of the book of John. You say, well, I've read that before. Well, let's just humor your pastor a little bit, all right? Even if you have your own quiet time and you read the Bible regularly, and would you add to that reading 3 chapters from the book of John every day for the next 7 days, so we finish John? Let's all read it together. Will you do that for me? Just, I mean, I'm not going to call you up tomorrow. Chapters every day till you finished it. And then if you came back at the end of that week, guess what I'd tell you to do? Do the same thing again. And for about a month, that's where I would keep you, in the book of John, reading John. You know what you'll do if you read in the book of John? You will fall in love with Christ all over. You will appreciate your salvation just reading the book of John. Just understanding. You will see in John 7:14 that never man spake as this man. You will see in John 6:33 where Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And so again, let's all of us take the short 21 chapter Gospel of John and let's read it again together. Let's start today. After lunch today, read the first 3 chapters. And then, so that by the time we get back together next Sunday, you won't say, well, I've got to read the last 3 today. No, let's already be finished by Saturday, all right? So we'll start today and finish on Saturday. And we're all going to read the book of John together. You know, and then once you finish that, here would be my next suggestion to you. Start reading some passages out of the Old Testament, and I would suggest that you read the book of Psalms and Proverbs. So if you are a new Christian, I would start you in John. Then I would take you to Psalms and Proverbs. And how many Psalms are there? 150 Psalms. And so if you're going to do Psalms in a month, How many psalms do you have to read a day? Let's say 30 days in a month, we're averaging it. So you'd have to read 5 psalms a day and 1 proverb, because there's 31 proverbs, so you could read 1. That's 6 a day. So if you did that, you could read your way clear through psalms and proverbs in a month, reading 5 psalms. And that averages out to be about 15 to 20 minutes each day to read Psalms and Proverbs. Now, why do I say average? Because when you get to some of the longer Psalms, it's going to take you a little longer to read them. But by the time you get to them, you'll be in a pattern already, so it won't matter. But that's where I would take you second, is to the Psalms and read. And so once we finish John, I might start encouraging us to read some in the Psalms and Proverbs. And then I forgot I was going to bring it up here, but I have a Bible. One of the first study Bibles that I ever owned was a Scofield study Bible. I have it in my office. How many of you have ever seen or known of a Scofield study Bible? All right, you all have. Scofield study Bible. Here's a challenge that I would make to you sometime. How many pages are in our Bibles? Well, I looked in my Bible last night as I was preparing this, and in my Bible, I have 1,017 pages in this particular Bible I have here. 1,017 pages. So if I read 3 pages a day, I could easily read through the Bible in a year. I'm not talking chapters, I'm talking pages. Just 3 pages from the Bible a day, and I could read through the Bible in a year. You know? A Scofield Bible, because it has all kinds of notes and stuff, if you read 4 pages a day in a Scofield, you'll read through the whole Bible in a year. All the notes and everything. Not just, sometimes you'll have 3 pages of notes in one, but you read through all of it, and you know what? If I were talking to a group of new Christians today, that's what I would encourage them to do. Read through a Bible that's going to give you some explanations and some notes and really start digging in. First step, John. Second step, Psalms and Proverbs. Third step, the whole Bible starting, and read just 3 or 4 pages a day, and you can get through it. This is just something very practical. And then I would also, in this whole area of appropriating, that's what we're talking about. What do we do with all these affirmations about Scripture? We appropriate it. And that's, how do we appropriate it? By reading it. But secondly, we memorize it. We memorize it. I know that Brother Bob here, when he first got saved, was it Jeff who was your discipler? Jeff Hadley. And one of the things that Jeff really encouraged Bob to do is memorize Scripture. And Bob continues to memorize Scripture. Have you ever noticed when Bob prays, a lot of time he prays Scripture? How can he do that? Because he's memorized it. You know? And I'm not just trying to pick on Bob. I hope that all of us have taken time to memorize Scripture. If you haven't, that's one way you can appropriate Scripture into your life, by memorizing it. And I know memorization is not easy. It's not getting any easier for me. But do you know what? We still need to do it. Memorize. I've told you about my wife's mother. In her latter years, she suffered from Alzheimer's. And we would go and visit her, and she wouldn't even know who we were sometimes. She wouldn't know me. I could tell you some really funny stories about that, but she would. But do you know how we ministered to her? With Scripture. And as we began to sing songs with her, and then as we began to read Scripture with her, you know what she would do? She would start quoting these passages that she had memorized, and she could quote those passages just like that, not miss a word. She was 96 years old, and she could memorize, she knew Scripture. She'd memorized it. She didn't even know what she had for lunch that day, but she knew Scripture. She knew Scripture. Scripture will stay with you in your life. And so let's appropriate it, but let's apply it. That's what we have in verse 10, is appropriating it, desiring it like gold and silver. And then verse 11 is applying it. What does Scripture do for us in verse 11? It warns us. It warns us. Our guide warned us about something while we were in Israel. She warned us that when we heard a big siren blasting, not to panic, because the siren was just letting everybody know that Sabbath had started. Officially started. And so she warned us ahead of time. Do you know what the Scripture does? It warns us. Do you know how many things bad have not happened in my life because Scripture warned me and I listened? Isn't that wonderful? To be spared a whole lot of problems in life because God warned you and you listened. And by the Scriptures, we are warned. One of the biggest warnings is this. If you fail to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will eternally perish and be separated from God forever and ever in punishment. That's a warning from Scripture. And Scripture, if we are going to apply it, we have to look for its warnings and heed its warnings. I know I've seen on television many times that there is a once in a while when a vehicle does not obey the warnings of a railroad track. And what happens when that happens? When they usually end up paying the price, don't they? I can remember one time sitting in my barber shop in Hazlett, Michigan, at Lake Lansing Baptist Church. My barber shop was right next to the railroad track. And there was a lady who didn't pay attention to the warnings. She drove onto the railroad track, and then the arms went down, and she was in between the downed arms, and we're looking right out the window of this lady in her car in between the two crossing arms across the railroad tracks. And thankfully, there was a man who ran, opened her door, jerked her out of her car just seconds before the train hit her car. Her car was totally demolished, but her life was saved. What happened? She didn't pay attention to the warning. And the Scriptures warn us. And here's, you know, I'm not sure yet where I'm going to go in Sunday mornings following this short series on Psalm 19, but I may sometime, and I'm not promising this, but may do some of my SOS messages. But you know what 2 Corinthians 2:11 says? Here's one of the warnings, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. The warning that Satan wants to get an advantage. And how are we not going to be ignorant of his devices? By heeding the warnings of God's word. And, you know, we hear all the time today, oh, just think positively. Well, thinking positively is unrealistic and it's harmful. Because just as there are traffic patterns that we need to take warning of, there are life patterns that we need to take warning of. And we need to find and obey that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all goods. And what also in the latter part of verse 11 is one of the applications. We are warned, and what else is there? Reward. Reward. There is great reward in keeping them. Wow. Wow. If you obey the word of God, he not only keeps you out of trouble, he rewards you. Listen to 1 Corinthians 3. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. We build on the foundation. Of course, we know in that passage, Christ is the foundation. But here's the foundation. God's word forms a foundation. We build on that foundation by appropriating the word and applying the word and obeying the word and heeding the word. And when we do that, God rewards us. And so we need to apply it. But lastly, in verses 12 through 14, this is kind of a prayer. This is maybe a prayer now of the psalmist who has just taught us about God revealing himself through creation. He's taught us about God revealing himself through his word. He is now telling us how we can appropriate that and apply that. And now he wants us to accept God's word. Because look at verse 12. Think of this as a prayer. And he's talking to God, and he says, who can understand his errors? What's his errors? That's your sin. Who can understand your own sin? Cleanse me from secret faults. So here's the prayer of the psalmist. I am understanding your word. Now I want to understand my sin in light of your word. And in light of the word, he now understands his sins. And now what is he asking God to do? Keep him, cleanse him from secret sins or secret faults. But he also is praying, and he says, don't only cleanse me, but keep me back from presumptuous sins. I remember when Norm Sharbaugh was here. I have notes in my Bible right on this page when Norm Sharbaugh preached to us, not this last time, but a couple times ago when Norm was here. He preached to us about this presumptuous sins, these haughty, deliberate, deteriorating, dominating, presumptuous sins. And what should we ask God to do? Keep us from those habitual, deliberate sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. And part of his prayer is, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Where do the words of your mouth come from? From the heart. So he includes the inner man, the meditation of my heart, affecting the outer man. How do you have the inner man affected? By taking heed to the word of God. That's how the inner man and the outer man are affected. And so what the psalmist is praying for here is cleansing from sin, keeping me from sin, don't let sin have dominion over me, and let your word so work in my life that my inner man, my heart, and my outer man, my mouth, be acceptable unto you. It's not just enough to know these wonderful truths about the law of the Lord. Now we have to appropriate, apply, and accept into our lives the Word of God, because it'll make a difference. I want to close with a little poem. It says this: this bread will make the hungry whole. This honey will satisfy the soul. This milk is growth to all who drink. This meat is strength to all who think. So, bread, honey, milk, and meat. This book rewards the price with priceless wealth. This book imparts a godly health. This friend delights the soul with joy. This teacher will our thoughts employ. This hammer breaks the stubborn heart. This fire a wondrous warmth imparts. This table for all a feast doth spread. This covenant exalts Christ as head. This rock is foundation sure. This medicine is for sin the cure. This treasure teems with wealth indeed. This vow of God is guaranteed. This sword discerns the hearts of all. This guide relates the shepherd's call. This truth exalts the Savior's blood. This Bible is the Word of God. Let's pray. Lord, the psalmist has reminded us today that we just cannot give mental assent and mental agreement with the fact that the Word of God is pure and the Word of God is right and the Word of God is true and the Word of God is sure. Yes, we need to believe all those things, but having believed them, we now need to appropriate into our lives and apply to our lives and accept as the rule for our lives the Word of God. So help us to apply it. It's not enough to know that we should not lie unless we're willing to obey the Word of God and stop lying. It's not enough to know that we shouldn't lust without obeying and asking you for victory over lust. And I pray that you will just help us all to understand that it's not enough just to know, we have to obey. So help us to be ready to obey. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.